We continue our learning of the Nishmas David ben Menachrus and Chaim Yaakov ben Pinchas Leo. We are in Bava Kama, Perek Yud Mishnah Beis. Nadlu Mochsim es Chamoro v'nasnu lo Chamor Acher. I have a case where the customs collectors took seized a person's donkey, but they gave him another donkey. Or Gazlu Listim es Kisuso v'nasnu lo Kisus Acheres. Or let's say robbers stole a person's jacket, Kisus, piece of clothing, and they gave him another piece of clothing. So what do you do with that other piece of clothing? What do you do with that, with the chamor, the custom collector, the robbers are giving you something else in place, very nice of them, but we have to assume that those items are stolen items. So the Mishnah therefore says, Hare Elu Shalom, you're able to keep those items anyway. I will say they're stolen items. Because we assume that the original owner gave up hope. So there you have Yish. And number two, Shini Rishus. It was a now changed possession. So maybe that person, that Lo's Listim there was the Goslin, but now it's in your hand. And the owner, we assume, gave up hope already before it came to your Rishus. So put together Yush, the giving up the despair of the original owner, and Shini Rishus, the change of possession. So that's then you acquire, you're able to keep it. If you want to return, the Gemara says in the Brice, if you want to be a tzaddik, but you don't want to accept something that's a stolen item, don't say I'm not interested. You should take back the chamor, take the chamor they're willing to give you, take the jacket they're willing to give you, and then look for the owner, and you can return it to the original owner, because you assume it's a stolen item. Yeah, obviously, yes, technically able to keep it, but if you don't want to take something that's stolen, don't say I'm not interested. Take it and then find the original owner. And the Mishnah says Hamatzil Men Hanahar. Omen Agais, Omen Halistim, person who saves something, rescues something from an overflowing river or from troops of soldiers, or Listim, once again, armed robbers. Imnis Yashu Habailim Hareu Shalom. If the owner gives up hope, you're able to keep it. What do I mean? If the owner gives up hope, I hear him saying, oh, woe is to me. I lost this item. So I'm never going to get it back. I'll never retrieve it. So a person who hears the owner saying that, that's Yush. Then, of course, you're able to keep it. After all, you have Yish and Shini Rishus, because it was in the hands of the Goslin, and now it's in your hand, so you're able to acquire it. The Gemara says, this seems to contradict the Reisha of the Mishnah. The Reisha, the first part of the Mishnah, says that we can assume the owner gives up hope if something is in the hands of Listim of robbers. And that's the assumption. And here it's saying, no, only if you hear him give up hope. If you don't, then ordinarily speaking, you should not be able to keep it. You have to hear him be miyayish. Say that I despair. I'm not going to retrieve this anymore. So how do we reconcile this? And the Gemara says it depends on whether the robber was a Jew or a non-Jew. Interestingly, here we say like this. If a person was robbed by a Jew, so remember, this item, which is coming from the hands of the Listim. So the item that you have now is, we assume that the Listim, the robbers, was a Jewish robber. And now that chamor, that donkey, or that jacket is in your hands. So that's something that you're able to keep and assume the owner gives up hope. That's the Reisha's case. Why is that so? Because the owner knows that for him to try to get paid by this, because this item was stolen, he needs Edim. They have to go to a Jewish court. You need qualified witnesses. And if he doesn't have them, there's no way he's going to get it back. So therefore he says, you know what? There's no way I'm going to get this thing back. He gives up hope. He gives up hope. Therefore, you who now were given this item from the Listim, or you were rescued it somehow from the Listim, that item, you can assume the original owner gave up hope, because these Listim, these robbers, were Jewish robbers. And therefore, this all has to take place in a Jewish court. And the owner says, there's no way I'm going to get this back. But let's say a person was robbed by a non-Jew. So he can bring them to a non-Jewish court. And they don't need real evidence. Circumstantial evidence is going to be effective. You don't need Edim. You don't need witnesses. And therefore, it may be very possible that the original owner of this item that had it stolen by a non-Jew, he assumes he can retrieve it potentially, and therefore he doesn't give up hope. And therefore you, the person who now rescued this or was given this by the Listim, my robbers, you cannot assume the owner gave up hope unless you actually heard him do so. That's the case of the Seifa. Then Mishnah continues to V'cheinu Nechil Shel Devorim, a swarm of, Nechil is like Nacha, like a stream, a swarm of bees. If you hear the owner give up hope, you're able to keep them. But that's only, so the assumption is that they don't give up hope. And only if you hear them give up hope, you're able to keep them. Now this, we should be aware that there's no concept of being actually being Kona, a swarm of bees. Even if they're in your backyard, because they always fly, they fly out, you can have, there's no real ownership, mi de oraisa. Mi de rabbanan, we assume that someone can be an owner of a swarm of bees. And that's what we're talking about over here. The Rabbanan said, we want to avoid people getting into fights. So mi de rabbanan will say that a person has ownership. So that's, we need to understand that when we see this case in the Mishnah, that this is all mi de rabbanan. Yes, it's true, mi de oraisa, nichil, shel devorim, a swarm of bees, I should be able to keep no matter what. Nonetheless, the Mishnah is saying, I can only keep it if the original owner, who really is not a biblical owner, only owner mi de rabbanan, only if I hear him give up hope. So that's a big chiddush. So even though his ownership, the owner's ownership is only midrabbanan, nonetheless, it's only if I hear him saying, woe is to me, I lost this, I'm never going to get these bees back, is when I'm able to keep them. Otherwise, I should not. I'm Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch, and menes isha o katon lomar mikan yatsa nechil zeh. He says that a woman is believed, or even a katon, who normally are not believed as witnesses, nonetheless, we see, if we see, let's say, the owner is running after the bees, which shows, obviously, he wasn't Miyash. So, and we hear that a woman says, or a katan says, this nechil, this swarm of bees came out of this particular place. So since the ownership, we said, of bees is only derabbanan, so the chachamim said, you know what? We accept the testimony of a woman or a katan, and therefore, let's say the owner of the field that the bees flew into is obligated to return them to the original owner based on this testimony, which is only testimony to Rabbanan. Now, the Gemara also says this is where they're not necessarily officially testifying it about this, because they say, oh, by the way, mikan yatsa nechil zeh, we saw this swarm of bees fly from this particular backyard or whatever it may be, so we know who the original owner is. So that's what we call meisiach lefitumo. They're not really testifying, that they're speaking casually. And we can understand, oh, I guess this swarm of bees came from here. That, I guess that was the owner. It's enough for that testimony of the woman and the woman or a katan to say such a thing. And we believe them, and the person must return the swarm of bees based on that meisiach lefitumo, which is not official testimony, nor is it testimony by people who are normally accepted as witnesses. Then the Mishnah says, v'mihizik, umahalach rather, besoch stei chaver lahatzils nechilo. Then the Mishnah says like this, a person is able to go into another person's field to save his swarm of bees, and this may be true even though he may walk in, he may damage some of the vegetables or grain that may be in the field. Nonetheless, he wants to save his nechil shel devorim. He's able to go in, even though he's trespassing, we give him the right to do so. But v'mhizik, of course, if he causes damage, v'msham ashehizik, he has to pay for any vegetables, any of the crops that he damages. We had this in the past. Let's say a person, early in the Masech, the person is allowed in the winter, let's say, to pour his water out into the public area. But if anyone slips or gets hurt, and injured as any damage, you have to pay for it. Mishnah then says, Avaloya kotz es socho almanas litain es hadanim. So although we allow a person to enter someone else's field to get his swarm of bees back, nonetheless, let's say all the bees now are now around, are all gathered together on a branch. So if he's going to take a few of the bees, or all the rest of them are going to fly away, it'll be much easier if I cut off this branch. So I'll cut off the branch, and then I'll just pay the guy back for the branch, for whatever damage it caused. So the Mishnah says he can't do that. Lo yakosis socho, socho means the branch. Almanas, with in mind, I'll pay him for the value of that branch. You're not allowed to do that. Rabbi Yishmael ben Oshay, Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch Omer, af kotzeif v'nosein es hadam. He says no. Af kotzeitz v'nosein es hadam. In fact, you can cut this off. He disagrees with the Tanakama. Disagrees with his father, and he says Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch was said the previous halacha. Rabbi Shmuel, his son, says no. It happens to be that this is a person has the right to do that. In fact, we assume that Almanas Cain hinchil Yoshua es aretz. That was part of the deal. When we came to Eretz Yisrael, it's a Tanai-based, and it's assumed it's a built-in condition that a person could go into his friend's field and cut off the branch to save his swarm of bees, as long as he's going to pay for the value of the branch that he cuts off. Perek Yud Mishnah Gimel Hamakir Kelov Usfarav B'yad Acher. Here you have a case where there's a cold, there's a rumor that certain books or kalim of let's say Reuven were stolen. And now he realizes, look at that, Levi has, they're in Levi's hands. And Levi says, no, I bought them from Shimon. So, you know, these aren't, these are probably not yours. I bought them from Shimon. I guess Shimon, you must be the owner. But Reuven says, no, these are really mine. So Reuven is not someone who normally sells these kinds of things, Svarim, Kalim, etc. And since there was some type of rumor that had been stolen, and we have Edim, in fact, that these items, the Kalim, the Svarim, are now in the hands of Levi, but they originally belonged to Reuven. So then we believe Reuven to say that they actually were stolen from me. Although Levi says, I bought them from Shimon in the store. I bought them in the shuk from Shimon. Nonetheless, Reuven, who has witnesses who can testify that these originally belonged to him, he's believed that they are his. Although Levi's saying that he bought them from Shimon. So what do we do? The Mishnah tells you that, in fact, the Yatzalo Shem Geneva Ba'ir, that's the rumor, that there is a Shem Geneva that they were stolen. So Reuven has Aiden, that these original belong to him, but they're in the hands of Levi. Levi bought them from Shimon. So the Mishnah says, Yishava lo lokeach kama nasan v'yito. So who's the lokeach? Lokeach is Levi. Levi is the one who says, I bought them from Shimon, these Kalim or these Svarim. So he has to swear how much he paid for them. And Vinatal, and he gets that money. Now, remember, Reuven is we assume is the original owner of these because he has Edim to prove that. But Levi also paid money to buy them from Shimon. That's what he claims. So he swears how much he paid for those Svarim or for those Kalim, and he pays, and Reuven is paying that, will pay that to Levi, that for the value that Levi paid for the items. But Reuven gets his items back because we have Edim that prove that these are his. This is all true if it's before Reuven had Yish. He had yet to despair of ever recovering them. But let's say he already gave up hope, so that Levi then is the real new owner because he acquires them through both Yish and Shini Rishus, and he would now have no obligation to return them. Now, if you think about this case, Reuven, you're telling me, was not Miyayish from these, nonetheless, so why should have to pay Levi at all for these? He didn't give up hope. They're in the hands of Levi. They originally belonged to Reuven. Nonetheless, this is what we call Takana Sashuk. This was a special Takana, special enactment for people buying things in the marketplace. He has to compensate Levi for this. Why is that? Because what it means is if someone buys something in the market and he doesn't know that the item is stolen, so he's entitled to be paid back for that which he paid for. Because otherwise, what's going to happen? And no one's going to ever go shopping anymore. No one's going to buy anything anymore for fear that the item is stolen. And the owner never gave up hope. And now he's going to end up, he's going to lose out. So Takana Sashuk says, Levi has to be paid for the item that he bought. Vimlav, but the Mishnah says, but if not, Lo kol heimenu, doesn't have the power. What does it mean? If, let's say, there was no yatsa gine shem gineva, there was no rumor that these items were stolen from Reuven, then lo kol heimenu, Reuven can't take them from Levi. He doesn't have the right to do that. Shani omer, mecharon la'acher, ulekachon, zeheimenu. We can assume, since there was no discussion, there was no rumor about there was any Geneva, we assume that Reuven, who maybe needed the money, although he doesn't normally sell items, maybe he needed the money, so therefore he sold them to Shimon. And Levi bought them, and Levi bought them from Shimon. And therefore, even if Reuven's offering to pay for it, Levi is not obligated to give it to him. And this is all in a case where there's no Shem Geneva Ba'ir. If there's a Shem Geneva Ba'ir, there's a rumor that it was stolen, so then we follow what we said in the beginning of the Mishnah.